This morning's topic is going to be names, and there's a lot to say in a lot of regards. First of all, it's directly related to this week's parsha. This coming week is Parsha's Vayishlach, and one of the primary dramas, one of the primary incidents which occurs during Parsha's Vayishlach is, in fact, Yaakov's name change. This is not the first name change we've seen in Tanakh, but it is a significant one. And the Psukim tell us, just to review the Psukim themselves, this is in source 1. Vayivaser Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was left alone. Vayavek ish imoy adalas hashachar. And there was a figure, fought with him until the dawn. Vayar ki lo yachol loy. And when he saw that he was not able to overcome him, vayiga bekav yarecha. He placed his hand on his thigh. Vaytaka vateka kav yarech Yaakov behev koim. And he displaced the part of the thigh. And this figure, this specter, asks to be sent away because the dawn is rising. I won't send you away unless you recognize, let's use that translation for the moment. And he said to him, what is your name? Speaking to Yaakov. Yaakov will no longer be your name. Ki im Yisrael, ki sarisa im Elokim, v'im anoshim v'tuchal. Your name will no longer be Yaakov because you have fought and you have overcome powers, be it divine powers and human powers, and you succeeded. Vayishal Yaakov vayomer hagid anoshimecha. Yaakov asks in turn, please tell me your name. Vayomer lama zetishal lishmi vayavarech esosham. Why do you ask my name? And then he gives him a blessing. He calls the place Peniel because he saw God. Now it's interesting, there's three names over here if you think about it. There's the name that Yaakov is being asked and his change. There's the name he asks from the angel which is denied. And there's the name of the place which he says afterwards. And by the way, Peniel appears elsewhere in Tanakh in terms of angels. And a very similar incident happens with the Eishes Manach at the end of Shoftim, where they ask the name of the angel over there as well. And then this comes up. Very fascinating description over here. And there's lots to be said. On the most basic level, what's going on over here is Yaakov is the name of the way, as Esau describes him, that Yaakov was deceived me so two times. He deceived me with the firstborn right. He deceived me with the brachas. And in a certain sense over here, as he's overcoming the angel of Esav, he no longer is locked into the existence of Yaakov, of trickery, of deceit, but rather into the reality of Sar, into overcoming, into being the aristocrat of God. And it's interesting because if one follows it through Tanakh, one will see that this is not Yaakov's final name change. You see that Yaakov and Yisrael appear throughout, sometimes by themselves one way, sometimes the other way. Later on, when Bilam gives the brachas, Matovu Olecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael, somehow Yaakov still seems to be part of the equation. So one has to understand what this is. Also, another thing to take note of just over here is that this is Hashem actually changes Yaakov's name just a few psukim later. So somehow this angel, is the angel changing his name? Is he giving him a notice that the name will be changed by God? Right, there seems to be something going on over here which is more than meets the eye. However, for our purposes, what I'd like to do is just to focus for a moment on the actual halachas of changing names. Because we do change names as well. We add names, we change names. And I'd like to just focus in the next little bit of time with you on how that's done, why that's done, and the practical applications. And then I'd like to loop back to our story to gain a sense of appreciation. So the first thing that we know is the following. The Gemara in Brachos tells us a very strong statement. This is in source 2. The Gemara says, my Rus. What does the name Rus mean? Right? There's the Megidas Rus. What does the name Rus mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shezachsa v'yatsa mimena David. That she had the schus, that her great-grandson was David HaMelech. Shirivuhu la'akadosh baruch hu b'shiros v'sishbachos. That he satiated God. That he satiated God, so to speak, with his songs and his tishbachos and his praises. Which means that somehow the name Rus is related to the Rivuhu, the satiation, and the Shiros, the Sishbachos. Right? There's a relationship between her name and what her progeny is going to produce. Fascinating description. Minalan, and the Gemara now brings it into sharp focus. Minalan de Shma Gorim. How do you know that the shame, the name, Gorim? How do you translate the word Gorim?
Cause.
Do you see over here? It's not the way the Gemara is describing it. How do we know the name indicates? Right? It says, how do we know the name causes? That's a very strong word to use over here. How do we know that the shame causes? Which means to say, interpreting back the first line of the Gemara, what's the chicken and what's the egg? In terms of Rus, the egg is the name Rus. The chicken is the fact that David HaMelech came out of it, right? If you just want to understand the kogorim over here, this Gemara, that means to say the name is the cause. Now, the Gemara says, how do we know this in the first place? Omar Rabbi Eliezer, B'da'omar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, L'chu chazu mifu'alos Hashem. Go see the actions of God, asher shamos ba'aretz, that He places desolation in the world. Shamos Baretz. However, the Gemara reinterprets. This one's actually just, there's an extra note. This one's sorry. Sorry.
Was Rus a Moabi name, right?
Not clear. It's not 100% sure. You know, even with Machlon and Kilion, is it the real names that they had?
Right.
You know, I would imagine it was the Moabi name, but somehow something in it. But it's not clear because, you know, Amachon and Achilion, we don't know what their real names are as well. There's two options the Gemara presents. Right, so it's right. You know, death and destruction. You know, it's really very unusual names for children, name your children, which again comes back to the significance of names. But yes, I want us to go into that. The Gemara actually has two options: whether Malchon and Kilion were their real names, and I think the other names were Yoash and. I'm trying to remember the other name. It's the Gemara in Basra. Which one is the real one? Which is the added name? But again, it's something difficult to know. It sounds like her name was the Moavi name, but somehow that Moavi name had a significance, whether they knew it or not, interestingly enough. The Gemara is commenting on this pasuk, says that God places Shamos bar, desolation, in the land. And the Gemara continues to say, Al tikre Shamos elo Shemos. Hashem didn't place desolation in the land. He placed names. Now, something interesting about this, it's not just that we're playing, there's a word game over here. Change the vowels and you get from Shamos desolation to Shamos names. The Marashah says that, no. Sometimes when you see desolation, realize that what's the cause of that desolation is the name. You know, don't start pointing fingers upwards at God. Point fingers at where the name's coming from, because you've filtered that, we'll call that divine flow through that filter. And it's what's causing it effectively? Causing, so to speak. Hashem chooses to limit the way He acts through those names. That's a very powerful thing that the Gemara is saying over here. That's on the negative side. Rus is obviously the positive side. But the name somehow opens that flow for a particularly good thing. In fact, on the negative side, the Midrash Tanchuma says the following. Zechor Yomos Olam, remember the days of all of yore. I love that word, yore. Get a chance to say it on your Hazinotam. Benu Shanos Dor Vador. Understand the years of generation to generation. The Tanchuma says the following. La'olam yivdok adam b'shemois likra b'livnoi ha-ro'wi li'yos tzadik. You should always make sure to call your children good names that are befitting, that have the space, that have the capacity of being the name of a tzaddik. Ki lifamim Hashem gorem. Because sometimes the name causes. Now notice the Midrash does throw in the word lifamim. Right? We're not talking about fate and predestination over here. There is a notion of sometimes, but still that's a very significant sometimes. Sometimes the name causes tov or gorem ra, or sometimes it causes evil. Kamoshim otzinim b'meraglim, as we find by the meraglim, and the Midrash goes on to list Shamua ben Zakur. That was one of the names of the meraglim. Ad al shelosh shama b'divrei hamokom. Why is he called Shamua ben Zakur? Because he didn't listen to the words of God. Ukeilu shal b'zichuroi. This is talking about a type of witchcraft that he asked himself in a particular fashion. V'cheinu omer ki chatas kesem meri. Then he goes on, Shafot ben Chori, al shelo shafat es Yitzroi, he didn't judge his own Yetzer, v'na'ase Chori min ha-Torah, and he became free from the Torah. Yigal ben Yosef, al shehotzi dibal ha-Oretz, lekach ne'esa b'lai Yitzroi, and it goes on to describe each individual name and how there's a negative connotation to it. Now, interestingly enough, there could also be positive connotations as well, which is interesting within those names, which really...
You could spin them either way.
I mean,
I'm sure the parents didn't, when they say Shamua, they didn't think he's not going to listen.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that Daffy would listen.
So that calls into question, really, in this Midrash, what the Midrash is saying. You know, what the Midrash is saying is, in a certain sense, what the Midrash may be saying is that the name is, we'll call it, a certain spectrum of possibility. And these people use that spectrum to a specific side. It's important to choose something which has less spectrum. Perhaps that might be what the Midrash is heading at. But to take even a step backwards, to understand what this even means, there, as there regularly are, there are two tracks in understanding over here. There's the more rationalistic and the more metaphysical track. Generally understood, and this is attributed, if I'm not mistaken, to the Meiri, is over here as well, is that there's nothing special going on when you call a name in a particular way or change a name in a particular way. What's really going on is that the shem is the simona. It's the sign. So if you call a child by a particular name, the hope is that that individual, that human being, will live up to such a name. There's nothing special, there's no magical side to it. It's simply that when you give a person a mission, you want to give them a good mission, right? You want to give them something to live up to. You know, in South Africa, a lot of the black people have their regular tribal names, and then they also give them English names as well. So you have Justice, Pleasant, Beauty. Right, that's what they call themselves, and if you ask them, you actually hear their real name, and you hear there's actually usually much more of a profound name behind it. But it's fascinating. So when you give a person a name, says the Midrash, as according to the Meiri, the point is give them a name which they can live up to. That's what the Meiri says.
So what was Rabbi Yishmael's father thinking when he named his son?
Rabbi Yishmael did sure, but there's a whole discussion. Actually, a very interesting halakhic topic is naming after people in Tanakh. Who, let's say, one character in Tanakh is negative under that name, but another person is positive, or somebody to do tshuva. Are you naming? Are you patterning directly after that person? That gets into that discussion, which is more of a technical discussion when it comes to those making brises. There's a lot to say about that. However, there's another deeper way of looking at things, and that is the following. As you know, for those of us who've done chemistry, that what you do is when describing something in a chemical equation, when you're balancing a chemical equation, every molecule has a particular equation. You know, we'll call it H2SO4, let's say hydrochloric acid. Right? So there's a number of elements, a number of different atoms that come together and form a structure, but you can draw the structure in organic chemistry, there's a structure of that particular molecule. Now, remove, let's say, a hydrogen atom, you have, you know, HSO4, you have an ion now. And that's iron, a negatively powered ion, has different properties. It acts in a different way, and therefore it's more dangerous, in fact, because it now attracts positive attracts hydrogen. It's now more dangerous because it actually acts with different properties. Right? Take away something, add something, you have a different element which acts differently and has different properties. The same thing is with names. On a metaphysical plane, the name of a person, each letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a very high significance. And place them together, you form and create different realities. And therefore, when you give a child a particular name, you are effectively coalescing the metaphysical equation of that child or that person. And therefore, language is not necessarily arbitrary as it would be in English. English, you know, a language is simply a description of something. Right, a tree is the word that we attribute to an existence which is in the ground, which is usually has certain properties, which has bark and has leaves, and you can go on to describe the parameters of such a definition. When you talk about eights in the Torah, the letter ayin and sadi coming together actually form that reality. And when Hashem said the word eights, the tree formed around that reality. Right? Understood on a metaphysical plane. And therefore, similarly with the names of humans, there's a deep correlation between the actual, we'll call it metaphysical equation, and the reality that it reflects. And that's another track which is taken, which gives you a very high significance in names, which is perhaps why we talk about the notion of Ruach HaKodesh during that week when the parents have a chance to name their child, whether they're knowingly or not knowingly. Because there's something very essential going on over here, more than just mission. Let's take it a little further. We know that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says the following. The Gemara tells us that there are four things which can alter, change, or improve, hopefully, one's reality. The Gemara says the following in the source 4. V'omar Rabbi Yitzchak, arba dvorim makarin gzar dinu shel adam. There are four things that a person can do which will change their gzar din. Eluhain, these are them. Tzedakah, tzedakah, shinu Hashem, v'shinu ma'aseh. Giving tzedakah, crying out to Hashem, changing one's name and changing one's actions. By the way, what's the easiest of all of these?
Shinui Hashem.
In a certain sense, just by the way, yes. Shinui Hashem might be the easiest of all these because in a certain sense one could effectively do this without too much effort, right? The other ones require actual change, right? You see this over here? You know, giving tzedakah and shinu ha'maaseh means to say you actually have to improve yourself. Shinu ha'shem could be the one which people may see as just doing, which is part. It comes back to the notion of mission. It's not just about doing. It's not just about dubbing. It's about doing as well. So just to appreciate that in the same list, there's obviously some sort of work to be done here. It's not simply free for all. The Gemara continues: tzedakah dechsev tzedakah tatzil mimaves. That tzedakah saves a person from death. Tzedakah, crying out, dechsev, as it says in Tehillim, vayitzakol Hashem b'tzar lohem u'mitzokosem yoshiyem. That's the mizmor in Tehillim, which talks about yodel Hashem chasto v'niflo asal livnei adam, which talks about how we thank God for escaping four different perils in life. And finally, shinu Hashem, dechsev, how do we know? Sarai ishtecholot tikras shmo sarai, ki sarai shmo. Sarai will now be called Sarah, and then what happens immediately afterwards? That, as in a certain sense, Sarai would never have a child, and she did not have a child, but Sarah did have a child, and therefore the Gemara understands from over here that she was locked into a certain reality under that name. But what happens when you change the name? The reality now, the reality changes. You're able to now effectively, you're able to have a new reality. There's something else you can tap into over here. So this notion now opens the doors for fascinating possibilities. Because up till now we see the importance of a name. We see the significance of a name, but now we see that there's a possibility of changing that significance of that road and that route taken. So this Gemara does express itself in Halacha. In fact, the Gemara says the following. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. As paskening this in Halacha, this is in the Halachas of Bikur Cholim, in fact. There's a lot of very fascinating halachas that go into Bikur Cholim. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following. It's actually the Ramah in the Haggah says, Yesh Omrim, this is in source 5, Shemi sheyesh loy chole beveisoy, that a person who has a sick person in their house, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Shebeir, Shevakesh Olav Rachamim, that a person should go to a wise person in the town and request mercy from them. Bechein Levorech cholim bebeis haknesses, and similarly to bless them in the beis haknesses. That's what we have, the minhag of the mishaberach that we do on Shabbos and during the weekday at Leining. Likra lohem shem chadash, also to call them a new name, ki shinu Hashem korea gzardina, because the name changes one's rips up one's gzardin, and this is directly quoting the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. A fascinating spin on this halacha is something which actually has been done. We don't do this so commonly today. But the Sefer Chassidim, really an early Sefer, really, it says a very fascinating thing, dating back to the Rishonim, says the following in Resh Mem Hay, this is in source 6. It says, "In nigzar al ploni sheshmoy kach." Let's say a person who's under a particular name has he seems that he's in a particular predicament. Harei giad sharei mavis. Let's say, God forbid, in a mortal predicament. That he's able to change his name and live. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. But k'mo yulad ben l'Naomi, like Naomi has a child now. Vu ben Rus, but really the child is the child of Rus. K'gon Ruven sheyesh lo ben notelamus. What does this mean? Let's say that a person chas v'shalom, Rachman Elisson, is a child in a very dire situation. V'yavo Shimon v'yomar l'aviv u'l'imoy ploni v'ploni. Holochem shakala ha lochem kikar ubasar v'yayin. You take this bread, this wine, this meat. Ani podeas b'nechem shiye b'ni. I'm going to, in a certain sense, buy your child. I'm going to buy your child in redeeming them. V'yichya kach osim l'misha en miskaimim labonim v'en l'mishum nichush. Let's say, unfortunately, it's not the predicament of a single child of that family, but a number of children. Then what can be done is this redemption process, where another person, in a certain sense, becomes the technical parents. And the way I would think about this is, you know, when let's say you're creating a Word document, and let's say you insert a hyperlink, right? So the hyperlink is effectively an address which goes through a number of the file systems, that when you click on that hyperlink, it'll either take you into another part of the document, or it'll take you into another file. But what happens is, let's say you move the other file. Right, your hyperlink is to file ABC. It's a PDF in another folder in your computer. And now you send your document to somebody else's computer. There's no longer an access to that document. So what happens? You click on the hyperlink, but it's not leading there. Right, the pathway is changed. That's in a certain sense what the Sefer Chassidim is saying over here. By changing who the parentage, the halakhic parentage over here is, you're clicking on, we'll call it a certain pathway which has got a negative connotation. And what's happening is not arriving because there's been a change. Now, we don't generally practice this minhag, because it's very unusual. However, some people say that, in fact, the name Meshulam originally, we're all familiar with the name Meshulam. The name Meshulam actually comes from such a reality. Meshulam, he was paid off. He was redeemed in a certain sense. Other people even say, during times of the Gemara, Rav Tachlifa and Rav Chalafta. Chalaf and Tachlifa literally means switched. That they're a product of such a practice. This is not adoption. This is, in a certain sense, this is a halachic changing of the reality of where the flows are going to be in the access of those people, which is a fascinating application. La halacha, what we do generally do is, in necessary situations, we actually just change the name, which is a little simpler, which is another version of what's going on over here. Yes, sure.
Maybe there's a concern that this child is being punished for the schism of the parents, and this way, by making them the child of different parents, so they are no longer responsible or being punished. And unfortunately, there are many punishments that carry on to one's children. And this is way of this, you're exempting this child from those punishments.
Well, that's
which may
saying,
be
yes.
in a way a problem for the pre-existing parent, because the punishment has, which is being deflected from them, perhaps to the child is not going. But on the other hand, they want their child to live.
Correct. So that's exactly what you're saying, is that when it seems to be an issue which is not isolated to the child, but rather to the family, then this is what's done. Because in a certain sense, you're diverting the flow. These children become the children of somebody else, technically. So it's just a very fascinating
their
practice.
Changing spiritual DNA.
Exactly. It's changing the DNA of the family, or the flow, because it's not just about persons, it's about the actual family as a whole. Just a very fascinating thing which you see as applied to halacha, and this is taken very seriously. And we take it very seriously as well, unfortunately, in situations where there's a need. Just if you...
Work from halachic status? I mean, what is...
Yes, I think that would be called up to the Torah by the new parents' names.
Yeah, but you're not, you know, for example, if it was a Kohen, he's not from a Levi, I mean, it doesn't change his halachic... You know, if he was a Cholol, you know, you're not going to change his halachic...
They say there's a man who comes to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, I really want to become a Kohen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
You didn't know which one I was going to say. Okay, fine.
You all have the same punchline. It doesn't
good,
matter.
Good. Excellent. Okay. So just a few halachos of the application. This is not so posh at how this actually applies itself. Do I tell you one? Okay. So we all there's just how this applies itself. There's actually a few just interesting halachic applications which are not so simple. And that is one of the most important things to understand is that are we changing or adding? This is the Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim quotes the Rach Me'av. He quotes in the following source, Sefer. Sefer Rach Me'av Kosav, B'Shem Sefer, I'm not sure who this is, V'Zeloshon, Shamati B'Mipi Adoni Mori V'Rabi, Nezer Yisrael, he quotes the Nezer Yisrael, Rabbeinu Yechiel Michal, She Omar Li B'Feirush, She Chalila Lashanos Shem HaChole, Im Lo Odom Shekom Ha'asov Kimat Beruach HaKodesh. You shouldn't change a chole's name, a sick person's name, unless the person doing so really is at the point where we're almost 100% certain that they have divine inspiration. Ki shem anikra la'odam b'chuldoi v'vadai ruboi kakuloi b'hivoldo, thank you. B'hivoldoi v'vadai ruboi kakuloi mizdamein me'es Hashem Yisparach. Because a name called at the time of birth is almost 100% as if they it was given from Hashem. Ba'asher hu shmoi lemalo, v'hu he'amechiyusoy shel adam, and this is the person's life source, kol yomav. Ve'evsha b'shinoy Hashem okrin chiyusoy. You're transplanting to a place where this person can't exist, because this is his life source, is through his name. So he says, be very careful when changing a name. You need to have something with divine inspiration. Just a personal...
As well as the editor.
Okay, excellent. So notice, what is he saying?
Abadi Yosef didn't want his name changed, and when they changed it, he didn't hold for it.
Well, over here, but let's see, Rabbi Lezer, this is what he's saying over here, and just to notice, is he's talking about Shinui Hashem. Where you uproot the name and you replace it. Now that's dangerous. That's what he says, when you want to do such a thing, it's very dangerous. But notice, and therefore the next paragraph says, over Sefer Avodas HaKodesh, he says, a person, obviously, is going to change the name and give them a new spiritual opportunity. A person, while doing this, should obviously have special kavonas about the Yud Gimel Midos, that this name should be formulated in such a context. Nizharin shelo lishanas es Hashem. Why do people just seem to change names all the time, and they don't seem to be worried about all these prerequisites on the spiritual level? So giyem ein lama mechavnin la'akor shem rishon rishon naik yosem baruch, that they weren't trying to uproot the first name, ach lahoisif shem, rather to add. You shouldn't say when doing the tefillah, the Mishnah Berurah, to add the name, to uproot, rather to replace them. Don't say that, and now you won't be called. Rather adding, that's our practice. You'll notice whenever we add a name, whatever it is, Chaim, Baruch, whatever else the name is, which is a good name, we're adding. We're not changing. Just as, again, as appreciation, a personal anecdote, when my second son was born, you know, that we say that you're told that you have a certain Ruach HaKodesh during the first week. This is an unbelievable incident that occurred, just in terms of appreciation, that he was born on the birthday of my grandfather. And my grandfather passed away many years ago. And my great uncle calls me up and says, you know, he was born on the birthday of your grandfather. So I said, I know that very well. The only problem is that I'm named after my grandfather. Okay. Right? My name is Yaakov Tzvi. My second name Tzvi is after my grandfather's only name, Tzvi. Yeah. So he said, well, you're not naming after him. After yourself, you're naming after him. It doesn't matter. So I said to him, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you.
You're still thinking.
So in the meantime, during that week, we looked at names, and it happens to be there was another grandfather who just passed away, and we chose the name Shmuel, which was going to be after his name, and my wife's grandfather, Shmuel. And we really liked the name, but we wanted to have a second name. And we're thinking, we had a few options in mind, and it just happened to be that this baby, Kenan Hara V'chen Yamshech, is a very peaceful soul, very at home with himself, and you could see that's already from day one. And we said this is really a shalom. We agreed with that. And the night before the bris, both my mother and my wife's parents were with us, and we were sitting around, and we wanted to talk about the first name Shmuel because it was the grandfather on both sides, and I wanted to get a sense of what I'm talking about the bris. I felt that the surprise would be less significant than actually getting a sense of really who these people were before talking about them at the bris. And we sat down to speak, and we didn't mention the second name. And in the midst of the conversation, my mother said, I don't know if I mentioned to you, but your Zeta Harry, who was Tzvi, actually happened to have a second name, but he never used it. And that name was Shalom. And we had chosen that name without her even realizing. And there's something very significant. To us, that was an eye-opener. But you know, there's the three grandfathers in one name. And you really see that what he's saying over here, and this is what the Rach Me'av is saying, is be very careful about changing names. We shouldn't be calling it changing names. We should be adding names. That's really what we're doing. Unless you're very sure that you know where this new address is going, be very careful. That's what he says. And that's our practice. Our practice is to add them.
I called back the uncle,
and everybody. And this is one of the beautiful situations where everybody was happy.
Unique moment.
Shalom, exactly.
So, prove the rule.
Exactly. So you know, we should all be a zeichen to such things.
Well,
anyways,
adding a name.
Yes.
Is there a difference adding it at the end or adding it?
Excellent. Okay, I'd like to do. To deal with that. In fact, the Minchas Elazar, when describing this, he describes a very unusual situation over there where there's a, he was invited to a bris, and the father, the grandfather was on his deathbed, and they were asking about whether they should wait for the bris. And Tokadet Tshuva, he talks about that, and he thinks that it's most important that a person should put the name first. The first name should be it. But, I want to get back to that in just a second, in terms of the practicality of that. What perhaps is interesting over here is that this difference over here of who's giving the name and who's changing the name may also be of significance. So Rav Aryeh Leibovitz suggests that this may be part of the difference between Avram and Yaakov in a certain sense. Avram Avinu had his name changed, right? He changed from Avram to Avraham. Not such a, we'll call it even hugely different. It was an addition of a letter, obviously changed the meaning, right? But where the Gemara tells us that one shouldn't call Avraham Avram anymore. Since his name changed, and you'll never see it from that time onwards in the Torah that his name is ever called Avram anymore. He's always Avraham. Whereas by Yaakov Avinu, we see that it's Yaakov and Yisrael and Yisrael and Yaakov, and it goes on even though Lo Yikorei Al Shimcha Yaakov, right? Even though he says you shouldn't be called such a name, the name continues and perpetuates. One suggestion which is very fascinating is the following, is that maybe it might be, it depends who's doing the calling at the beginning, right? Is over here, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at the end, by Avram Avinu. And over here, it's the Sar. Now, one has to square this with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to agree at the end. But one has to think, why it is that Yaakov Avinu's name was an addition as opposed to a change, just in terms of what we've just been thinking about over here. But going a little further, what name to choose? How do we choose this name for a chole? So the Sefer Chassidim again makes a very fascinating suggestion, and this is in the last line, the third line over here on the top of the page on page 3. He says in the parentheses, he says a very fascinating possibility. Rotze lomar shekoru lo shem bagoral mitoich hasefer kasher osin nachole. There's a possibility of calling from the sefer. What does that mean? This literally means that a person will take open a sefer Tanakh, and actually in the Makor Chaim at the bottom over here, he suggests the Makor Chesed at the bottom. He says the following. This is in the smaller print. I'm a Birka Yosef Yeridea Kuvain Teshakosa Kibalti Mi Rabosai, that I have a tradition from my teachers. Kishel Yurotzim Lasos Eze Dovar, when they wanted to do anything, Hayonotlin Chumash or Mikov Dalet Kisrei Hakodesh, they would take a Chumash or one of the 24 books of Tanakh. They would open up and see the first pasuk they found in the top right corner. And that's what they would do. This is in terms of life guidance, right? In terms of, right? And this is written in the particular midrash. Bekeshes little eitz min haTorah havi noitzel. The idea of taking advice from the Torah. And that's very... I mean, you can imagine, this is not just name changing, this is advice in the Torah, and there's famous stories about this, about Rav Yaakov and Rav Moshe. There's famous stories about seeking advice in what we call the Goral. In fact, this Goral was used, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rav Aryeh Levine, used a Goral to bury the 36 who were killed by the Arabs on the Gush Etzion block, who were killed on the way. Remember in the early times of the war independence over there? So what they would use the Goral to identify mutilated bodies in that particular thing. Here, the Goral is to be used to find a name. Now, interestingly enough, we don't have that practice. In fact, what we do is we usually add a name which is of positive significance. Chaim, Baruch, Yosef, Chaim, all kinds of positive names which have connotations. We don't do this, but I wonder if this goes back to with the two approaches in general. Is it a notion of, we'll call it mission or metaphysical equation in a certain sense? You know, if it's mission, then you're going to choose a name very specifically to something which is going to relate to the mission that you want to have. In this case, we want life. Right? I heard Pesach you mentioned before. We want to have something which relates to the mission of this person, but it could also mean that if one's opening a Tanakh, there's something more going on, and we realize that there's something, when you open that book in Tanakh, there's going to be something even more going on over here. So I wonder if that's related to that. In general, we take this practice of very specific names. As an interesting addition to this, the Sefer Tamim Menachem continues to say that certain names one shouldn't choose. He says in source 10 of the Sefer Dvash Lefi, in this particular book called Dvash Lefi, he says, Kosov Shinoi Hashem, Kishoisen Isha, Lo Yukra Uhu Rachel Bas Sheva Tamar Lea. So interestingly enough, we don't know this is Kabbalistic, but he says there's certain names to choose, certain names not to choose. This doesn't mean first time around. This means as an addition. Right? He's not talking about whether to name your daughter this or not. He's talking about as an additional name. Don't add these or do add these. He refers to this practice of looking in the pasuk to choose a name. And the first name they found was not a good name. It was a negative name in Tanakh. And I said, don't call him such a name. Why? Because there's a pasuk which says, Shem Rishoyim Yirkav. The names of Rishoyim should disintegrate. Meaning, don't give banner, don't give platform to such a name. Right? Don't call him in such name. There's a few names over there described where they alter the name a little bit. Avishalom as opposed to Avshalom. Avshalom wasn't such a savory character, unfortunately, during his lifetime. And so what happens over here is there's some sort of change. One shouldn't be naming after Rishon. This gets back to the question in general that Ari mentioned beforehand, which is a question of, you know, naming after people who have a number of names. Let's say there's a number of people in Tanakh with the same name, some of them negative, some of them positive, or somebody did shiva in the middle of their lives. Right? So, you know, for instance, Menashe, right? So there's a very evil king, Menashe, but there's a very positive son of Yaakov, Menashe. Menashe is shiva at the end of his life. So these become questions which are not for now. Now, the question which is really significant is, does that name stay? Once you call a person the name, does the name stand? Unfortunately, there's a very simple acid test which the Sefer HaTamei Menachem suggests, and that is Mi Shehaya in source 11. Mi Shehaya Chale Vayadeze Ha Mishanes Es Shema, and they changed the name because of this. Im Amad Mechel Yadei Shina Shema, if that name change worked, meaning if this was sufficient to be able to help them get out of that, Im Korim Korinosai Es Bonav Latorah La'olam Azkirin Es Shem Hashinoi. You will always say that name, and as Jonathan mentioned over there, it's going to be the first name. So generally, the naming is to be, if let's say it's going to be, Yitzhak, it'll be Chaim Yitzhak, right? I think the Kliyakar, the Ololos Ephraim, I think in fact had a name added. I think it was Yosef Ephraim. In fact, they had a name beforehand because of a particular incident, that the name becomes the first. And what's the acid test is? If the person lives. If the person lives, then of course that becomes their name for all respects, for his children who are coming up to the Torah. That's why we call them. Avalim lo amad al yedei shina Hashem echayo. If chas v'shalom, that wasn't what was going to happen. The person did not survive at this point. Im korin es bolav l'Torah yaskiru shmo harishon shel aviyem kodem l'shem hashinoi. He suggests putting the name afterwards. Interestingly enough, the change name afterwards because it didn't have, we'll call it the fully desired effect, which is the way he suggests, which is an interesting thing over here, and this may also affect the matzeva in terms of how this is put up.
So
I think right, you're right. I think that generally the way I've heard it described when I was discussing this, the way I heard this described is if there's been a significant change for the better, and then a fall. The point is that, is it as a function of the same sickness, the same situation, or has there been a change for the better and then something else was injured? That's generally the way we view it, because it's the same trajectory which we're working on over here. David?
Wondering about the substitute equivalent names, Eliyahu and Avi and Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron ben Yeshiva Tamatim al ben Israel, the Kanoek Kinati, but Okam Lokalati at Pinchas or Kinati. And Eliyahu and Pinchas are substituting as equivalents. And there's some, if you could jog my memory, Yaakov will get an extra yud?
Five times from Eliyahu.
From Eliyahu.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's going to be our best case example. You're right, just because when the Midrash says Pinchas Eliyahu, it's hard to know, we don't know about Eliyahu's lineage. Eliyahu just walks in, right? And and Pinchas does live for a long time, but what that really means is does that mean to say that they're the same person? Does that mean to say that they represent the same values? It's the same neshama, right? So it's hard to know exactly. I wouldn't use that as a Shinu Hashem or as a prime example.
My follow-up question is, how the substitute equivalent name might function with, they say Rabbi Akiva was later came back as the Ramhal, because both the Ramhal went on at 40 and Rabbi Akiva.
Right, so you bring up very good things. There's the notion of Gilgul, right? And we know that, as you're saying, that Rabbi Akiva, it's known that Rabbi Akiva missed the first 40 years of his life, right? We know that the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Zilzato, lived to the age of 40. And interestingly enough, even though he spent most of his time in Europe, he's buried next to Rabbi Akiva. So as you said, there's a lot to talk about those 40 years or the displaced years of Rabbi Akiva related to the Ramchal. But again, this is Gilgul. We're talking about the different lifetimes. The focus I just want to do today is the focus within one lifetime, because it's very hard to know what's going on over there. And you need great people to point these things out. But it's not as much of a Shinu Hashem, but rather we'll call it a continuation of a legacy over there. Yes?
But here's an example of Shinu Hashem.
Another question is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden mentions in his Kirush on the Siddur that at Kabbalat Shabbat, within the concept of the Sefi Road, Moshe is Keter and David is Mahut, which are the opposite ends of the pleromatic emanation of the manifestation of Hashem from the distant garden, so to speak. And at some time in the Kabbalat Shabbat davening, Keter unites with Mahut, that is, Moshe and David's characteristics manifest themselves in a certain way due to the theurgic nature of the liturgy.
So, very possible, and again, I'm not well qualified enough to know about this. These are very significant points, but again, I want to deal with the here and now within halacha, just because we don't, we talk about a lot of metaphysical and Kabbalistic notes. I just saw the question as well.
If a person comes out of a coma, says, thank you very much, but I don't like that name.
It's a very good question. I hope that that's the worst issue that they have to deal with. All I can say is I hope that's the hardest thing that they have to deal with. God willing, that should be the most difficult decision problem at that point in time. I just wonder if I can just hold it for a second. I want to just bring this to a little bit of a close over here as we close to get a sense of where we're going. And that is that there are other options of where this applies itself. The Chuvas van the Shalos Chuvas van Hagos, Rav Moshe Sternbach Schlitter, who still lives, is asked in his first section a question about a couple who've been together for many, many years and unfortunately have not had children, and they're asking for segulas. Now, obviously, I would assume that there is obviously medical intervention being sought as well, but the point is from the side of what they can do on the religious side of things, is there anything you're doing? And he suggests a lot of very interesting suggestions, and one of them is the following in source 12. It says, maybe something to do with their names creates a, we'll call it, an issue on the spiritual plane. He says, perhaps an option is to change names. If such a name is sticks and becomes so, then the ksuba should be altered as such. Now, this is fascinating. This is very fascinating. Now, I wasn't sure if this means to say the previous ksuba or the following ksuba of the children. I wasn't sure about this when he said this. But you do see this as an extrapolation of the notion of that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah beyond just simply the bounds of a chole to actually another situation over here where one needs to change it. Another example of this is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, "Midarkei tshuva liyos hashev tzoek tamid." A person, we'll call it a refugee, a person who's coming back and doing tshuva, should cry out constantly, livnei Hashem, bivchi uvetachanunim, in crying and in pleading, v'oset tzedakah kefi kocha, and doing tzedakah, umisrachek harbe min adavar shechata, boy, and is distancing themselves from the item or the action of sin, umishane shmo, and he should change his name, kolomar ani acher ve'eni osa ish, she'osa oisana masim. And a person should not, and I'm not the same person, he's effectively just expanding this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. But of course, the fascinating thing is we forget that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah wasn't talking about a chale. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah was talking about a person who wants to change their station in life. Whether they may be actually in a very good station in life, we'll call it on a physical plane. But the point is, on a spiritual plane, that person wants to get out of the station. He wants to change. So says the Rambam, take that Gemara very seriously. There's a possibility to change your name, even as, we'll call it, a self-correction, or getting oneself to the next station. So generally, you don't hear this practiced. Generally, people don't do such drastic measures. They take the other three first. But this is... Really, people change names? Very fascinating. So it's very fascinating to hear. So this is coming directly out of the Rambam, Paskin this morning in Rosh Hashanah. It's a very fascinating application. What we've seen over here today is just the following, just to come back full circle, is the significance of a name, whether it be in terms of mission, in terms of actual definition. The notion of changing and where that applies itself, is it adding, changing, does it stick, what type of names does one choose? But coming back to full circle of Yaakov, and I'd like to just describe one fascinating thing which Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch points out. And that is that in the end of days, Hashem says, "Bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad." God's name will be one. God's name will be one, which means to say that in the end of times, all missions, all personal missions on earth, will pale or disappear in terms of the shame, the mission of God in the world. That's what "Bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad" means, which means that when Yaakov Avinu is fighting with that angel, and he asks him, "Ma shmecha," as the morning is coming, as the dawn of redemption is coming, the response is, "Lama zeh tishal lishmi," because as redemption comes, the names of all people who established their reality, their platform as being opposed to God, will disappear. "Lama zeh tishal lishmi," as the dawn's breaking, those names will disappear in comparison with God. However, Yaakov Avinu's name doesn't disappear. And that's what's fascinating. Because over here, you see a fascinating thing. When it comes to the Migdal Bavel, the people making the Tower of Babylon, what's their purpose? What is their claim, their thesis? Naase lonu?
Shame.
Let's make for us a name. Let's create a platform. Let's create an independent reality from God where we'll have our own agendas and live that reality. That shame disappears when you establish it for yourself. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha me'moradzecha be'ezavicha. Right, and Hashem says, I'll give you a name. I'll give you a name. What does that mean? When you adopt my mission, when you become the vehicle for my name, then your name will last. Where does Avraham Avinu get his name? Upon which mission? When he's entering the land of Israel. When he's now on the mission of God entering the land of Israel. It's fascinating over here that Yaakov Avinu, as he re-enters the land of Israel, gets his name, the lasting name. Whereas the name of the angel melts away into nothingness as the dawn breaks. Because in a certain sense, we're all waiting for the Yom, Bayom Awiyah Hashem Echad Shmoy Echad, with our own names being part of that because we are vehicles of that name. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful
day. Before everybody leaves,
oh, yes.
If you are not on the Shear email list, please just give us your email. Also, we're looking to get a rotation.